أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهديين وسلم تسليما. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for joining us tonight. And tonight we will be addressing a question from a skeptic, actually. And the question is, how can I believe your claim that you are the Mahdi or the Qa'im, O Abu Sadiq? There must be signs that the Prophet informed us of before the appearance of the Mahdi. Isn't that something that should be taken into consideration? So this was a question that was sent in by this individual. And let's go ahead and address him, inshallah, in tonight's lecture, which is called Signs of the Mahdi. Have they really come to pass? So first off, I just want to say, in regards to the signs of the coming of the Mahdi, which most of them come in the form of narrations, traditions from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, alayhi salam, people will always disagree in regards to prophecies. This is something that is the case in Islam today. This is something that was the case and still is the case in Christianity and Judaism. That is because many prophecies, first off, are allegorical in nature, and people interpret the words differently. Meaning what? Meaning effectively that prophecies and the interpretation of prophecies is something which is subjective. Many people differ on the reliability of the narrations, depending on the method used to evaluate the narrations, or depending on the sect which one belongs to. So the Shia will reject the prophecies sometimes, or the narrations and the hadiths which are given by the Sunnis, and vice versa. The Sunnis reject the narrations as unreliable that are considered to be reliable by the adherents of 12-er Shia Islam. But never, ever deny a hadith. We're actually commanded to. What they're doing in regards to denying particular ahadiths or casting doubts upon them, saying that the chain of narrators are not reliable, this method, or denying any hadith in general, is actually against the words of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi salam. It's against the teachings of Islam in reality. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi said in one hadith, whoever rejects a hadith that reaches him from me, I will dispute with him on the day of judgment. I will be his opponent on the day of judgment. So if a hadith reaches you from me and you do not recognize it, then say Allah knows best. So here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his lifetime, he already anticipated that in the future there will be differences. People will narrate different narrations. People might be confused as to what really came from him or didn't come from him. Instead of him saying, reject all narrations, or instead of him saying, study the chain of narrators and see if they're reliable or not, the Prophet suggested something else. He actually said, never reject it. Assume that it is true. And if it doesn't seem true or you're confused, then say, Allahu al-alam. So who left the most prophecies? Here's a little bit of interesting information. Moses, alayhi salam, he left dozens of prophecies. Jesus left between 50 to 100 prophecies, depending on who's counting the prophecies and what they consider to be a prophecy. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family left thousands upon thousands of prophecies. So the religion of Islam actually is the number one religion in the world when it comes to the plethora or the amount of prophecies that is recorded on their tongues, the imams and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First off, we have categories of narrations that were given to us by the Prophet Muhammad and by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. These were very general prophecies about the appearance of the Mahdi. They would be sayings that would be speaking generally about the condition of the world, of the people, prior to the advent, to the arrival, the appearance of the Mahdi. So, for example, they said, people will disobey parents and honor friends instead. Okay, let's do something tonight. Every time I read off a prophecy and you recognize that this has been fulfilled, I want you guys to say, Sadaqt ya Rasulullah. It means you have spoken the truth, O Messenger of Allah. So once again, people will disobey parents and honor friends instead. Is this happening? Widespread lying and dishonesty. Increase in illegitimate children and fornication. Nudity and immodesty will become common. Men will resemble women and vice versa. Come on, let's do it very loud. Let's let the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and the angels hear this testimony tonight. Alcohol will be consumed openly. Music and musical instruments will become widespread. Adultery will be public and rampant. Divorce rates will rise. People will lose trust. The trustworthy will be distrusted. Bloodshed and murder will become widespread. Religious knowledge will decrease. Mosques, masjids will be beautifully decorated but empty of guidance. People will boast of wealth, status, and ancestry. Corruption in leadership. The leaders will be corrupt and wicked people will be in charge. Religious leaders will be from among the worst of people. Again. Trusts will be lost. People will not keep their word. Widespread injustice and oppression on the earth. Rulers will oppress their people and betray them. The return of the monarchy after the prophetic caliphate. Arab unity will dissolve. Non-Arabs will lead Arab lands. Islam will become strange again. The Quran will be recited but not acted upon. People will pray but without sincerity. False prophets will appear. People will leave the religion in masses. Sectarianism will increase. Interest, riba, will be widespread. People will cheat in trade and business. Wealth will be abundant, yet people will remain ungrateful. People will compete in luxurious lifestyles. In one particular narration, Abdullah ibn Umar said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. While he was standing on the pulpit, he said, the example of your time in comparison to the nations before you is like the time between Asr and sunset. So Asr and Maghrib. The people of the Torah, meaning the Jews, were given the Torah and they acted upon it until midday. But then they were unable to continue and they were each given one qirat. Then the people of the gospel were given the gospel and they acted upon it until the Asr prayer. But then they were unable to continue and they were each given one qirat or one reward. Then you were given the Quran and you acted upon it until sunset. So you were each given two qirats. Now it's interesting here. I'm going to pause here for a moment. I'm going to point something out because it's subtly alluding to the fact that there are these covenants and the covenants are broken, and that the Jews, they were given a covenant with God. They were given the Torah. They were commanded to act by the Torah, to uphold the Torah. They did so until a particular time. And when they broke the covenant, then that was it. The lifetime of their nation came to an end. And so the birth of a nation is established with the establishment of a covenant, and the death of a nation happens with the breaking of the covenant, and then a new covenant comes into place, and that's what we see happening here. And it is compared to the times of day. So it seems like the Jews here were given the Torah at Fajr time, and they continued to practice it until the midday, Dhuhr time. And then the new covenant was established, and it was with the Christians, and the Christians upheld it until when? Asr time, but they were unable to continue after that. They broke the covenant. They became weak, and then the new covenant was established when? At the Asr time, and the Muslims continued with it until Maghrib. The people of the Torah said, "Our Lord, these are a people who did less work than us, but they received greater reward." Allah said, "Have I wronged you in anything regarding your reward?" They said, "No." He said, "That is my favor, which I bestow upon whom I will." So the ages of the nations is something which is kind of hidden within this little hadith that we just read. The nation of Judaism's time was from Fajr to Dhuhr. And the nation of Christianity's time was from Dhuhr to Asr. And the nation of Islam's time was from Asr to Maghrib. And we know that the time between Moses and Jesus was approximately 1,400 to 1,500 years. We know that the time between Jesus and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi was approximately 600 years. And the time between Muhammad and the Mahdi, or the current times in which we're living, if similar to previous nations, will be around no more than 1,500 years, all right? And so if Muhammad was sent in 610, because he was born in 570, and he was sent at the age of 40, so that would be 610, with his message, then 2025 minus 610 gives us 1,415 years today, which is right in the middle, right at the exact timeline, the exact moment. It's appropriate, actually, according to that previous hadith, that the people that are alive today contemplate and expect that this is the time of the death of the nation of Islam, because they would have followed the footsteps of the Christians and the Jews, and their life or their covenant would have come to an end. And as we saw with all of those signs that were given beforehand, you all testified that all of them have come to pass. But let's look at some other signs. Let's say, okay, those signs, maybe they were not enough. Because the skeptic in the beginning, he said, "Hey, wait a minute, there's supposed to be signs that precede your claim. So why should we even believe you?" Let's talk about some other signs that are more specific. How about this sign? The speeding up of time. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith said, "The hour, the day of judgment, or the rise, as we know, the advent of the Mahdi will not come until time draws near. The year will become like a month, the month like a week, the week like a day like an hour, and the hour like the burning of a palm leaf stalk." And actually, this prophecy was given also by Jesus. He also warned his people that when the time of his nation comes to an end, that time would also speed up because of the oppression that's happening on the earth. So Matthew 24, it says, "For at that time there will be great tribulation, unmatched from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be seen again. If those days had not been cut short, nobody would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What about the speaking of inanimate objects? Here's a prophecy that was also given to us by Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi salam. The Prophet said, "By the one in whose hand is my soul, the hour will not come until one of you leaves his family, and in his sandal, whip, or staff will inform him of what his family did after him." Isn't that incredible? Yes. Who's hearing this for the first time? What about iron will walk on iron? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "An iron will walk on iron." What about iron flying in the sky? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An iron will run upon the back of the wind, and fire will rain down upon them, and out of every seven people on earth, five will die." What about fire from the atom? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, "And the atom will burn the world." And Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, "Indeed, from an atom comes fire." Global warming. Did they talk about that? In one narration, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam said, "Before this matter, the appearance of the awaited one, there will be a bayuh. I did not know what bayuh meant, so I went on pilgrimage and I heard a Bedouin saying, 'This is a really bayuh day.' I asked him, 'What is bayuh?' He replied, 'It means intense heat.'" What about Arab skyscrapers? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, "And you will see barefoot, naked, poor shepherds, Bedouins, vying, competing with one another in the construction of buildings." Television and social media. I heard Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, say, "Indeed, the believer in the time of the Qa'im, even if he is in the east, will be able to see his brother who is in the west. And likewise, the one in the west will see his brother in the east." Space exploration? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "When the Jews unite with the Christians and fly with iron above the stars." A bridge built between Bahrain and Arabia. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "A bridge will be built between Awal and Al-Khat. And when it is completed, blood will reach the level of the knees." And now we see they're building. What about Hitler? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one narration, "The war of the end times will be a global war, the third after two great ones, in which countless souls will perish. The one before was ignited by a man whose title was the Great Master, and the world called him by the name Hitler. In the decades of Hijra after 1300, tie together the decades, and the king of the Romans will believe that a global war must happen. So God willed it to be. Not long would pass, a decade and another, before a man from a land called German would be raised with a name like Al-Hirr, or a cat, possibly symbolic of Hitler or Führer, who desired to rule the world and fight everyone in lands of snow and bounty. He ended up under the wrath of God after years of fire, and he was destroyed by the secret of Al-Rush, or," the narration said, "Al-Rus," meaning the Russians. The establishment of the State of Israel, did they talk about it? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, "The Jews will come from the West to establish their state in Palestine." The people asked, "O Abu al-Hasan, where will the Arabs be at that time?" He replied, "They will be fragmented in power, broken in unity, neither united nor aligned." What about Nasser? Gamal Abdel Nasser. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And in the decades of the Hijra, after 1,300, count five or six A man will rule Egypt whose nickname is Nasser. The Arabs will call him the brave of the Arabs, but God will humiliate him in war after war, and he will not be victorious. The killing of Anwar al-Sadat, that was also mentioned in a narration of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, alayhi salam. The Prophet said, and the people of Egypt will kill their leaders, their Sadat. Get it? And the servants will overpower the lands of the masters. And God wills for Egypt a true victory, one belonging to him, in the month he loves most and claims as his own. So Egypt pleases the Lord of the house and the Arabs through a dark-skinned man who rules, whose father was Anwar from him, was lighter in complexion than him. So it's a play on words because his name is Anwar al-Sadat. So the Prophet says, a man whose father was Anwar from him. Yet this man made peace with the thieves of Al-Aqsa Mosque in the sorrowful land, meaning Palestine. The Shah. What about the Shah? Okay, where's the Persians tonight? In one hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the nights will not pass until a man from the Mawali, meaning the non-Arabs, rules, and his name will be Al-Jahjah. Because he used to call himself what? The Shah. The what?
Shahanshah.
Shahanshah. What about Saddam? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and in the Syrian Iraq, there will be a tyrannical man, and he is a Sufyani. In one of his eyes, there is a slight droop, and his name is from Saddam, for he is truly a Saddam, one who collides or confronts those who oppose him. The whole world was gathered for him in a small kut, possibly referring to Kut, a city in Iraq. He entered it anointed. But there is no good in this Sufyani. What about King Abdullah of Jordan? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, when Abdullah al-Ahmar rules in al-Sham, then watch for the emergence of a Sufyani. And after him, the Qa'im. And it's interesting because Jordan is part of Sham. And the king of Jordan, his name is Abdullah. And his nickname is Abdullah al-Ahmar in this narration. And he also has a red flag. And he's also known to have a red complexion in his skin. The appearance of the Yamani. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said, there is no banner more guided than the banner of the Yamani. It is the banner of guidance because he calls to your companion. If the Yamani emerges, he will forbid the selling of weapons to people and every Muslim. If the Yamani emerges, go to him, for his banner is the banner of guidance. It is forbidden for any Muslim to turn away from him. Whoever does that is from the people of hell, because he calls to the truth and the straight path. And so this narration here, it basically makes it very clear that it is obligatory, it's an obligation upon every Muslim to follow the banner of the Yamani. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger would never make it obligatory to follow somebody unless they were infallible. And thus, we see here that the Yamani is a hujja over the people. He's somebody who is an imam. The death of King Abdullah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man will rule over the Hijaz, whose name is the name of an animal. If you look at him from afar, you would think he is cross-eyed. But when you come close, you will see nothing wrong with his eye. He will be succeeded by a brother of his named Abdullah. Woe to our Shia from him. He repeated it thrice. Give me the glad tidings of his death, and I will give you the glad tidings of the appearance of the Hujjah. This particular narration is a narration that was talked about. It was spoken by the scholars on almost every single Shia satellite channel throughout the entire Middle East. It was spoken about and recited by scholars all over the world. And they were basically saying that King Abdullah, during his lifetime, this was a major sign, and they were anticipating that after his death, that the Qa'im would appear. So during the life, actually, of this king of Saudi Arabia, they were passing out leaflets, passing out books. They were alluding to, there is much literature that's out there. There's many videos that are out there where they were treating this hadith as completely authentic. And they were saying that it was one of the major signs. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Whoever guarantees for me the death of Abdullah, I will guarantee for him the coming of the Qa'im." This is a secondary hadith, a second hadith. Then he said, "When Abdullah dies, the people will not agree on anyone after him. And this matter, the reappearance, will not come to an end except with your companion. God willing, the rule of years will come to an end, and it will become the rule of months and days." So I asked, "Will that take a long time?" He replied, "No." And it's very important. This narration is extremely important, more important than anybody realizes. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in the first hadith and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this hadith, they put their credibility on the line. They actually make a promise. A promise, like he said, if you hold on to this will, you will never go astray. Another promise is made with this narration. He says, "Whoever tells me, guarantees for me the death of this nasty king, I will guarantee, I promise for him. I promise for him the appearance of the Qa'im." So the first part of the narration is said what? It said that there's going to be a king, and the king is going to rule Hijaz. What's the king's name? The king's name is Fahd. What is Fahd? It means leopard, right? So the hadith says what? The hadith says that there's going to be a king, and the king's name is the name of an animal. Well, when we go to Arabia, we'll find that the only king whose name was the name of an animal was a man who was named King Fahd. And Fahd means leopard, and that's a picture of King Fahd. And there was a description that was attached to him. What was the description? If you look at him from afar, he looks like he's cross-eyed, like he's got a wandering eye. But when you come close to him, it seems like there's nothing wrong with it. It's confusing. He says his brother rules after him, Abdullah. And that's precisely exactly what happened with King Fahd. His brother ruled after him. And when he died on January 23rd, 2015, what happened? All of a sudden, right afterwards, in the same day, merely hours after the event had taken place, the black banners of the East were raised, and the declaration of the appearance of the Mahdi begun to be spread to the world. The idea that this tradition existed in the books of the Shia for all those years and was being circulated by them and spoken by them, and that it would happen, it would come to pass in such a way, and that there would be this king whose name actually would be the name of an animal, and then he just so happens to pass it on to his brother, whose name is Abdullah, and then precisely on the same day when he passes away, and there's a promise attached to that passing that the Qa'im will appear, the da'wah of the Qa'im takes place. That is a miracle. It's a miracle that took place in January of 2015. And the Holy Quran says, indeed, the hour is coming. And we have a plethora of narrations from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad that state that the hour is what? The day of the appearance of the Qa'im. Indeed, the hour is coming. I almost conceal it so that every soul may be recompensed according to that for which it strives. So this hour, this verse in the Quran saying that the hour is coming, it's almost hidden. Surah 20, 15. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said about those rulers, he was talking about the rulers of the end times, he says, they will follow after a liar of Israel, and among them will be imams of misguidance and callers to hell. Kings and princes will ride in their ship, having made them rulers over necks. They will consume this world by them. And by Allah, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he's swearing, if he willed, he would name them with their names, meaning he has the ability to give the ultimate prophecy, which he can name by, he could name the names of all of those kings, those tyrants that will exist right before the advent of the Qa'im. He has the ability, he would name them with their names, so-and-so from such-and-such, the Al-Nun, and then he says, the family of Nun. Who's the family of Nun? And the family of Awad, the Mutabarrak, the Mutarraf, the Mutayammin, the Mutamassar, the defamer with speech, Al-Qazif bil-Kalam, the one who strikes with fire, Al-Sadim bil-Nar, the seducer with temptations, Al-Fatin bil-Fitan. And among them will be the king, the spoken of, the prince, the head, the governor, the leader. In their time, Al-Aqsa Mosque will be lost. Also, in the Jifr, a different book of Imam Ali alayhi salam, it says, a different prophecy about the kings of the end times, and it says in there, the night of the family of Hasib will be darkened until there is no sabah, meaning morning, for them. So there's a play on words that's taking place. And the family of Dawsa differ amongst themselves. Then the fall of their king will occur from the hand of a heedless, careless person. And their kingdom will suddenly vanish from them. Their affairs will be scattered and they will have no sa'ud. They will have no success. So he says here, and by Allah, if I willed, I would name them with their names, so-and-so from such-and-such, the family of Nun. Do we have a ruling family in the Middle East, out of the Arabs, that have anything to do with Nun, the letter N? Do we? Exactly. What about the Mutabarrak? Hosni Mubarak of Egypt. What about the Mutarraf? There you go, Yasser Arafat. What about the Mutayammin? Ali Abdullah Saleh of Yemen. What about the Mutamassir? Mutamassir, it's interesting because it came after the Mutabarrik. So they're two different people. Sisi of Egypt. And it's interesting because Mutamassir also kind of means like he's pretending to be Egyptian. He's not really Egyptian. He's pretending to be an Egyptian. He's actually something else. And I think that most of the Egyptians know pretty well by now what he is. What about Al-Qazif bil-Kalam, the one who defames people by his speech? Look at that guy. La'natullah alayhum. Subhanallah. The nation of Islam, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they traded in, imagine that, they traded in Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, the family of the Prophet Muhammad, they traded in Imam al-Mahdi for these creatures. Would you trust that if you ran into him? Imagine running into him in a coffee shop. Would you... Would you trust him to bag your groceries? The one who strikes with fire. Saddam Hussein of Iraq. Lanatullah Ali. Al-Fatin bil-Fitan. Who's Al-Fatin bil-Fitan? Who's somebody who's a seducer and he gets seduced? Who's the Middle East playboy? King Hussein of Jordan, who had four wives and some of his wives were foreigners, etc. The night of the family of Hasib will be darkened until there is no sabah for them. That's also a play on words. The family of Sabah of Kuwait. What about the Dosa, which is actually just a rearrangement of the words of Nanatullah alayhum. They differ amongst themselves. Then the fall of their king will occur from the hand of a heedless, careless person, someone playful and lacking awareness. And their kingdom will suddenly vanish from them. Their affairs will be scattered and they will have no Saud. And it's interesting because currently the king is supposed to be what? He's supposed to be King Salman, right? But there's somebody that's actually handling his affairs. This heedless, careless person. What about Obama in America? How about that as a prophecy? Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, in one particular narration, he says, Bilal appears in 50 stars that are not in the sky, but rather in the great earth. But the star of the children of Israel, drawn in the lines of the shield, swallows them all. Isn't that interesting? Because the America has how many states? 50 states, and you have 50 stars that are on the flag of America. Each one of those stars symbolizing a state. And he's saying that Bilal, meaning a dark-skinned person, will appear in the land of America. Swallows them all, the children of Israel, the star of the children of Israel, the time and the hereafter promised to them in which all Arabs will be disgraced. And the nation that disobeyed its messenger and extinguished its lamp with its own hand will weep. Meaning all the suffering that's taking place on the Arabs right now, it will take place during his time and around his time. And the reason why they're suffering is because they are the ones that had these lights that were sent to them and they put those lights out with their own hands and they will weep. And then it says, and he will connect to the 50 cities with the rope of the children of Israel that comes from Mount Zion, seeking corruption on earth and exaltation for the oppressors. They will call it the land of Amalek. In the scripture, it says Amalek, which is very close to America. And obviously, it's a reference to America. And their leader will be with the children of Isaac and the children of Israel. Well, that's interesting because it's the hadith is saying, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is saying that the American leader, he's always with the children of Ishaq or the children of Israel, which explains their adamant support for Israel. He will gather the people according to their language and call them to their call. And it's interesting because we see that over and over again, you have the Star of David or the Star of the children of Israel appearing in the on the American dollar. Satan will roam its cities and alleys. Its people will be scattered and its honor will be violated. The religion of Satan will appear amongst them. Lust, arrogance, and the mirage of thirst, and they become immersed in blessings, enjoying the greenery of life, rejoicing in their knowledge, and matters have settled for them, and their situation led them to a non-dominant position. The world is only demands, desiring but not going. They are rulers on the edges of the earth. They know what is happening, and they know what is happening in it. The paths of the earth, length and breadth, and they have eyes that spy behind the clouds. Meaning it's going to be a very powerful nation that's going to have incredible technology that can spy from behind the clouds. They're going to know what's happening in every corner of the earth. Al-Qa'im will not appear. This is a narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that the Qa'im will not appear except after that every class of people, every kind of people will have ruled over other people, so that no one man say, if we have ruled, we will have spread justice. Then Al-Qa'im will rise to rule with truth and justice. Meaning what? Meaning God is so fair. God is so just. God does not give anybody an excuse. That God, he's explaining in this hadith, he's saying, you know why all of these evil people rule? Because all of these evil people, up until the time of the Qa'im, they had wished inside of themselves. They had hasad from the dhar world, from the atom world. They had hasad and they had wished that they could rule. And so in this world, God gives them a chance to rule so that the proof is established over them, and they could never say that, oh, well, so what? If we would have been given a chance to rule, we would have done the same as Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salam, also said and made it very clear that every single banner or movement, every flag that is raised before the rise of the Qa'im, its leader is a tyrant who is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayma wal mahdiin wa sallim taslima.
And we're the only people in the world, by the way, the only people, the only religion, the only people in the world that can stand here very bravely and say lanatullah on all of them. Every single one of them. And it has been narrated that on the banner of the Mahdi will be written al-bay'ah lillah. And so in closing, I say to the skeptic who posed the question at the beginning, inshallah, these few narrations and traditions that we have picked to demonstrate that I think it's clear to you and I that we all are living in the time of the Mahdi. And I think that this final slide, this image that's on the screen right now, let the whole world take a good look at it, because that is our banner, that is our flag, that is the promised flag of the Qa'im, the promised flag of the Mahdi, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and his family said that in the banner of the Qa'im will be written in it, al-bay'ah lillah. There would be no point to give that prophecy and to say that if other people would raise the banner. Because if a false person could raise it, then it would create confusion and it would be nonsense to state it. We are the only people, I am the only person, along with my father Ahmed al-Hassan alayhi salam, in 1400 years since the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, to raise this flag, the flag of allegiances to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to call to the fact that Allah is the only one who has the right to appoint the leader. And you, my friends, are the people of God, and you should stand proud. God bless each and every one of you, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.